The Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together in the ESV. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We spent quite a time on the Lord's Prayer because this year is about prayer living. It's about not just setting aside a time when we say certain words, but rather living moment by moment in this relationship with God. And so just a few reminders and review. Prayer is two-way conversation, simply that. It's two-way conversation. It's both talking to God, listening to God, and it's walking in that relationship. It's not about saying the same words over and over again. It's not about impressing God, impressing others. It's just simply two-way conversation with God. The purpose of prayer is relationship, and that is knowing and enjoying God. It's not about earning his favor. It's not about saying enough things so that you get what you want. It's not about a transaction so that if you're good enough or do enough, then God will do what you want him to do. But it is simply knowing and enjoying God. It's being with him and enjoying that relationship of a loving heavenly dad and a holy almighty God. Prayer is a means to, an indicator of, and a result of relationship. And so our conversation with God is the means by which we have relationship, as all relationships are based on communication. It's an indicator, how much we talk to him is an indicator of the kind of relationship we have to him and the result of relationship. So the conversation is a result of the fact that we have relationship with him. And then conversation with God is a primary activity for every Christian. Conversation with God, not prayer, but conversation as you go throughout your day. And part of that conversation might be listening to worship music and allowing him to speak to you and allowing just experiencing him as you're listening to worship music. It may be a part of your conversation with other people as the conversation, God is in the middle of the conversation with other people. It may be as you're going through your day and you have a decision to make, just pausing and saying, God, I don't know which way to go. Show me the way that you want me to go. It may be as you experience something really good in your life, just saying, God, thank you for this. I love this, God. This is great. It's a primary activity in the relationship with God. And so now we come to this phrase, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. A very difficult part of the prayer, perhaps the most difficult thing that we ever have to do. I heard, it's supposed to be a true story, about a man who had purchased a new 7509cc Honda motorcycle. Is that a big motorcycle? I have no idea. After a few leisurely trips around the block to become acquainted with it, he discovered it was powerful. And he parked the motorcycle in front of his home to show it off to his neighbors. It started to rain, however, and not wanting to get the cycle wet, he decided to bring the cycle into his house. He put down several large boards over the front steps to make a ramp. He started the cycle up, drove up the ramp, but being unfamiliar with the power, he lost control on the porch, crashed through the front door, into the television set. He sustained a fractured collarbone, and the living room was covered with gasoline and oil. That's a bad day. But it's not over. The ambulance took him to the local hospital, and while he was there, his wife and daughter cleaned up the debris, soaked up the gasoline in towels, wrung them out in the toilet. Don't get ahead of me. Come on. Several hours later, he returned home, full casted from neck to waist. Soon he went to the bathroom where he lit a cigarette and tossed it into the toilet. Needless to say, the ambulance was called again. As they were carrying the battered and burned man out of the house, one of the medics asked his wife what happened. Upon hearing the story, both medics broke out laughing so hard that they slipped on the wet porch and dropped the man and fractured his arm. On the way to the hospital, the ambulance was involved in an accident. Fortunately, there were no further injuries. The motorcycle was sold the next day. Some things are difficult in life. Some days are hard in life. And some actions that God demands that we take because he's a loving heavenly dad are very hard. And now we come to the phrase that I think is the most difficult. And it embedded in it may be the hardest thing that a Christian ever has to do. And that is to forgive. It's a very important part of the Lord's Prayer, because it's the only part where Jesus puts qualifications. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's the only part where there's a qualification there. It's the only part where Jesus specifically ties our relationship with him to our relationship with other people. And it's the only part of the prayer that Jesus then follows up with additional teaching after the prayer is over, which is our memory verse for the month. So let's talk about it today and the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about what is this forgiveness thing really all about. So let us face some facts, because I don't want to pretend to be flippant about this. When we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, what we're talking about is forgiving other people of some very hurtful things. Here's some facts. Everyone gets hurt. Everyone gets hurt. Let me see your hand if you've never been hurt. If you've never been hurt, ever been hurt, let me see your hand.
I do. In my bathtub.
Okay. I think he misunderstood. Everyone has been hurt, which means everybody has to forgive. Hurt is real, and it is painful. Sometimes in the Christian world, we just kind of gloss things over. We pretend things aren't there, and so we just say, well, and if you're in the South, what happens is they'll say, well, bless his heart. Amen. Bless his heart. And all that means is they've done something that I don't like, and sometimes it's they've hurt me very bad, but I'm going to pretend that they haven't. In the Christian life and in the Christian world, we need to come face to face with the pain that's caused. Some have been hurt in horrible, devastating, life-changing ways. And that might be you. So we're not, when Jesus says forgive, we're not downplaying any of this. We need to recognize that it's real. But another fact is that God is bigger and that we can trust him as we forgive. You see, there are some things that you cannot forgive in your own ability. But we can trust that God is bigger than any hurt that we've ever experienced and that he will help us forgive. And then finally, all will not be made right until heaven. There are people who have hurt us that will not pay the consequences. You know, we have these sayings in our society, what goes around comes around. Well, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes those people get away with it. Sometimes they have no consequences in their life. But in eternity, it will be taken care of. So those are just kind of the basic underlying facts. Now let's talk about three questions that will lead us to better understand experiencing God's forgiveness. We want to start there. Next week, we'll talk about what it means for us to forgive other people. So three questions that will help us better experience God's forgiveness. Number one, why does God require us to forgive? Why does God require us to forgive? Why is this such a big deal? Why did Jesus make such a big deal out of it that he put these qualifications on, and then he followed up with two more verses teaching about forgiveness. And then as we go in the New Testament, we see here over and over and over again about how important it is to forgive other people. Why would he do that? The answer is, it is for our highest good. It is for our highest good. See, every time Jesus tells us to do anything, as we look through the four Gospels and we hear his commandments to us, anytime he tells us to do anything, he's coming from the perspective of, I want you to do this. He's not scolding us. He's not got his finger in our face, but rather he's trying to put his arm around us and saying, this is what is best for you. I'm not telling this to make your life harder or worse, and I'm not just telling you to do things because I just want you to do them. It's all based in his love for us, in his desire for us to experience the highest good. And so when he tells us to forgive, it's because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. And so when he says in our memory verse, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." When he says that, it's for our highest good. Now, we're going to talk about that more next week, but just let me give you some basic bullet points, and then we'll come back and talk more about it next week. Well, how is it for our highest good? It allows us to know God as loving Heavenly Dad. We were created to live lives of love. And so God says to us, our lack of forgiveness prevents us from experiencing this deep relationship with our loving Heavenly Dad. And so by forgiving, it allows us to experience this deep relationship, this satisfying relationship that we long for. And so forgive so that you can have that. It sets us free to experience abundant life. Unforgiveness prevents us from having the life that Jesus wants us to have. Because it builds walls around our hearts, when our hearts have walls around it, we can't experience relationship with God as we are holding off relationship with other people. It sets us free. It makes us more like God. God forgives. It's his nature to forgive. When we forgive, it makes us more like Jesus in ways that we don't even know exist. The more Christ-like we are, the more like Jesus we are, the more abundant life that we get, the more relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Refusing to forgive harms us indescribably. Refusing to forgive harms us indescribably. And that's what we're going to talk more about next week, is that it hurts us more than it hurts anyone else. It's like hitting myself in the head and thinking I'm hurting the person that hurt me. Unforgiveness does more harm to us than anybody else. In fact, Christian and secular studies have both identified the devastating physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and relational effects of refusing to forgive. Not just the Christian studies, but secular studies from John Hopkins and some of these great institutions have identified that it is devastating. It hurts us indescribably. So God, why does God tell us to forgive, instruct us to forgive, command? Because it's in our best interests. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So here's God's plan. He wants us to experience the very best. And so everything he tells us is for our highest good. And here's what he wants us to experience: adoption as sons. "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." And you can't experience the Spirit of God ruling in your heart if you have a wall built around it to keep others out, because it keeps God out as well. Crying, "Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father." So you know, are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. You have an inheritance with God. That's his desire for you. And that's what you can't have if you can't forgive. Now, just a note, just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't forgive. Look at me again. Forgiving is hard. The deeper the hurt, the harder it is. And for those, and I've been around long enough to have talked to people who have been indescribably harmed, physically, emotionally, mentally, by people. And I understand. It's devastating. But just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. The world's philosophy is, if it's really painful, Stay away from it. God says if it's really painful, but I'm telling you to do it, healing and pleasure's on the other side. So as we go forward with this idea of forgiveness, if it's hard, I understand. But don't stay away from it. We have to forgive. Number two, the second question then is, what does it mean for God to forgive? What does it mean for God to forgive? So in the Lord's Prayer, we ask, forgive us our debts. And so we're asking for God's forgiveness. And so we need to have that as a basis. What does it mean for God to forgive us? In everything, the context is relationship. Relationship, relationship, relationship. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. It's about relationship. It's not a transaction. Jesus is, and this is one of the hardest shifts for us because we live in a world where everything's transaction. Everything's transaction. So if I do this, you do that. It's not transaction. It's out of the heart of the love for God. He forgives us. It's in the context of relationship. We can't do enough to earn forgiveness from God. We can't be good enough to earn it or deserve it. It's just simply giving from the loving Heavenly Father. So it's in the we keep in mind, it's in the context of relationship. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Romans chapter 5. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what does it mean for God to forgive? It means that he paid the price when we weren't even paying attention to him. That he paid the price on the cross before we ever asked to be forgiven. While we were still sinners, while we were still hurting him, while we were still sinning against him, God showed his love to us and saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to forgive them. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. What we deserved is wrath. What we deserve is punishment, is his anger. In his forgiveness, he paid the price and saved us from that anger. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. So out of the scripture, he tells us that it's not just forgiveness of sin. So here's the answer. What does it mean for God to forgive? The answer is restoration of relationship. Restoration of relationship. The kind of relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had the perfect relationship with God, perfect relationship with one another. There was no sin, there was no distance, there were no walls, there was nothing except perfection. What God offers to us is restoration of that relationship. At the point where we're forgiven, we begin this reconciliation, this path to knowing him deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger, purer and purer, as we move closer and closer and closer to that relationship we lost in the garden, so that when we cross the threshold of death into heaven, it's perfected. That's his goal for us. It's not a transaction to say, okay, you owed me $100,000. Okay, you don't owe me anymore. It's about relationship. It's about reconciling that relationship. So part of it is, the bullet point there, is pardon. Pardon. Our guilt is removed. You were guilty. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You were guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. By your sin, you know that Mel Gibson movie? And all of the awfulness of that crucifixion? That was because of you. That was because of me. That's what we were guilty of. That's what we should have deserved. That's what we deserve. That's what we should have experienced. So the pardon says, Jesus says, I'll step up and I'll take the cross. I'll pay the price so the justice is done and the guilt can be removed. But one of the terms that the theologians use for that is to be justified. And in college, we were always looking for ways to remember all of the terms that we had to learn. And somewhere along the line, I learned this. Justify means just as if I'd never sinned. I've been justified. I've been pardoned. When God sees me, if I have accepted that personal relationship and that personal pardon, when God sees me, he sees me through the righteousness of Christ so that he doesn't see me guilty at all. So what does it mean for God to forgive? It means restoration of that relationship through pardon. Our guilt is removed. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses, dead, you were dead, spiritually dead, in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Circumcision represented the covenant relationship with God. You didn't have any relationship with God. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us of our trespasses, pardoned us by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He has counted us guiltless. When we accept that personal relationship and the forgiveness of sins, he counts us guiltless, pardoned. In the Old Testament, Micah 7:19 says, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities under feet. In other words, he will take our sins and he will walk on them. He will, and then as if the Holy Spirit is trying to, okay, I'm going to take this even farther. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He will remove them from us so that they are no more. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. It's been pardoned. It's gone. It's off the books. Pardon. I want to show you a video clip. Every once in a while, you hear somebody that says something that sticks in your head like glue. And at the No Regrets Conference back in February, so that's 6 months ago, a group of us guys went to this No Regrets Conference, and Stuart Briscoe, who's like 175 years old, has been an elder statesman, just a hugely great theologian and teacher for so many decades, was there. And he said something that stuck in my mind, and I think about it every single week, because the way he described it opened it up in a way that was just powerful for me. I hope it's as powerful for you as he describes what God has done when he forgave us with his pardon, his mercy, his grace, and his justice.
Good afternoon, everybody. I think every time I Jesus Christ, and we crave the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. If you're interested in hearing more about this, about Simon Peter, what Jesus did with him, and how they lived their life together, and Simon Peter grew, I just happened to have a book I wrote on this subject. And I just found one lying here, remarkable coincidences. It is called Brave Enough to Follow. It's the story of Jesus and Simon Peter, and how Simon Peter grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are.
And I highly recommend anything that Stuart Briscoe has ever written. God has given him an ability to take the word of God and make it so practical. But did you catch what he said? What we saw before is, what did we deserve? We deserved to die on that cross. We deserved an eternity in hell because of our sin. Because we have done the things we shouldn't have done and we haven't done the things that we should have done. We deserved all of that. And then God pours out his mercy upon us. And that's where a lot of Christians stop, is because when we think of it as a transaction, we think of the pardon and the mercy. We're still getting all, you know, we're still getting some of what we deserve, but we're not getting it all. And so God just kind of pulls back. But when you move into the depth of a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, then you move into grace. And grace, as you look through the New Testament, when you start looking for that word, that's what you see. That's the angle that God comes from. That's the perspective God comes from. His desire is to pour out his grace upon us, all that we don't deserve. as his loving children, dearly loved children, so that we can have ice cream that we don't deserve. That's God. And so what does it mean for God to forgive us? It means not only has he canceled our sin, canceled our guilt, but he's put us in that place of favor. And that's what grace really means. The undeserved favored position with God. Not just undeserved favor, but this undeserved relational position with God. So what does it mean for God to forgive us? He pours out his mercy. He pours out his grace. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, not giving us what we deserve, giving us all that we don't deserve. Slow to anger. Is that the natural perspective that people have about God? No. They think he's condemning and quick to anger, just ready to hit you over the head. Abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, because he's pardoned us. We are not getting justice when we discover forgiveness. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As high as the heavens are from the earth. Now, how high is that? You can't measure it. He's saying it's immeasurable. The love that God has for us is beyond measure. His steadfast love for those who fear him, those who honor him, put him in the place of awe and reverence. And then he says this about our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Now, how far is the east from the west? You keep going east, keep going east, keep going. When do you get to west? Never do. You keep going east, never get to west. You never get to west. In other words, it's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. He removes our transgressions, all that we've done, as far as he possibly can. And he remembers. And then in Jeremiah 31, 34, he says he remembers them no more. So if tomorrow morning you say, oh, I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to talk to him. And you begin to talk with him and you say, God, you know, I'm still thinking about that thing I did a month or so ago. Remember, I talked to you about it and I asked you to forgive me, but it's still weighing on my conscience. And if you listen carefully, God will say, What is it you're talking about? Well, you remember that month ago when I did that really bad thing, you know, and I asked you to forgive me for that. Remember I talked to you about it before? He goes, I'm sorry, but nothing's coming to mind here. But God, remember, I did that really bad thing. He says, I do not remember it anymore. Now, how does God forget anything? He chooses to. He looks at us and he sees Jesus' righteousness, not ours. So what does it mean for God to forgive us? He lets go of everything that we've ever done when we come to him and ask for forgiveness. It's bigger and better and stronger and wider and broader than anything you can imagine, because it's not just canceling our debt. It's treating us with grace. Verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He understands our imperfection. He doesn't expect us to be more than we are or do more than we are. He's compassionate and he's loving and he's caring. And just like Stuart Briscoe, he deals with our stuff. He forgives us. Sometimes we have to pay the consequence and he walks us through those consequences. But he always comes to us and offers ice cream or popcorn, whichever you like. He gives us way more than we deserve. So does that help you catch a glimpse of all that his forgiveness is for you? Keep that in mind next week as we begin to talk about what it means for us to forgive others. Because if God forgives us that much, then we have to be willing to forgive others. Last question. Have you accepted God's offer to forgive? Have you accepted God's offer to forgive? And I don't say that flippantly or in a trite way, because it may be that you have believed in God as long as you can remember, that you have gone to church, given money, read the Bible, prayed. You've done all of those things. But you've never truly accepted the forgiveness of God that will lead to the reconciliation and the restoration of that relationship, that deep, loving, heavenly daddy relationship. How do we know whether we have or not? One way, Jesus says, one way that we'll know if we're truly forgiven, he says in the Lord's Prayer, the verses after we will forgive others, he talks about if we've been forgiven, there will be evidence in our relationships with others. Evidence that you are forgiven, here's the questions. Have you accepted and committed? Have you accepted the forgiveness of Christ? Have you truly come to that place in your life where you say, God, I want a personal relationship with you? Now, here's one of the problems of our culture for the last number of years is that at the Billy Graham Crusade, they invite people to come forward and pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, I admit that I have committed sin. I ask that you will forgive me, and I accept that forgiveness. And it is very transactional if you don't understand all of the depth behind it. And so a lot of people who have prayed that magic prayer, but they've not prayed this prayer. Lord, please forgive me of my sins, and now I commit to a relationship with you. Not just a transaction, not just something that has been forgiven, but a deep relationship with you. That's what it means to be a Christian. So have you accepted and committed? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." In the English language, belief means head knowledge. In the Middle Eastern culture, it means life knowledge. It means a lifestyle. And so when it says whoever believes in him, it means whoever is walking in relationship with him, following him, giving their lives to him. So have you accepted, really accepted and committed your life to Christ? Second question, do you desire to forgive others? Do you desire to forgive others? As difficult as it is, do you really want to forgive them? I mean, forgive them because God tells you to forgive them. I mean, there's nothing in our humanness that wants to forgive anybody that has hurt us deeply. But because you're living in relationship with him and you want to be like Jesus, is it your desire to forgive other people? Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." I'm not asking if you have gotten to the place where you have absolutely forgiven those people. I'm asking you, do you want to? Are you willing to work towards it? Because oftentimes, it's not a one-moment act of the will. It's a process of letting go. We're going to talk more about that. But an indicator that you truly have accepted God's offer of forgiveness is your desire to forgive. And then finally, the last one is, do you choose to obey God, striving to forgive others? And I would say when everything inside of you screams not to. Are you willing to say, God, if that's what you ask of me, because I know you're my loving Heavenly Father, and because you've forgiven me of all that stuff, and you've given me mercy, and you put me, and you've offered me grace, I am willing to obey you, whatever it takes. I can't do it in my own power, but I'm willing to obey if you will help me. And it's only as the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to forgive can we do it. So here are the follow-up verses that Jesus gives us. After he ends the template of the Lord's Prayer for his disciples, he makes this commentary. It's the only topic he continues teaching on after the Lord's Prayer. He says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's not that we earn it or deserve it by forgiving others. It's that by forgiving others, we show that the Holy Spirit lives within us. It's evidence that we have been forgiven. So have you accepted and committed, accepted the forgiveness, committed to the relationship? Do you desire to forgive others? And are you committed to obey no matter what it takes? And it's not feelings, because there could be feelings long after forgiveness has been offered. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes as we close? Have you accepted forgiveness and committed to the relationship with Christ? Do you desire to forgive others, all others who have hurt you? Do you choose to obey God, striving to forgive others regardless of your feelings? If those are true of you, those are indicators that you really have experienced the forgiveness of God. If those are not true of you, then Jesus says you haven't experienced the forgiveness of God. And so I'm going to ask you today to check your heart, to check your mind, and to check yourself. Doesn't matter how long you've been attending church, doesn't matter how long you believed in God, how long you've been hanging around with Christian people or reading the Bible. Are you really in relationship with God? If not, I invite you to pray this prayer with me, if it's your desire. Just in the quietness between you and God, right where you are, your heart to His. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to pay the punishment I deserve. Now, Lord, I want to live for you. So I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And from this point on, I commit to living in obedience to you. I surrender myself. I can't do it on my own, but I commit to doing it in your power. And I commit to obeying you, even to forgiving those who hurt me deeply. I can't do it on my own, but in your power, I will do it. From this point on, my life is yours, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayers and you know our hearts. For each person that has prayed that prayer, committed themselves completely, deeply, absolutely to you, I pray that you would flood them with a sense of your joy, your love, that they would see the smile on your face, the love that you have for them, that they would experience your grace, that you would pour out on them, that favor that they don't deserve but desperately desire. From this point on, God, I pray that you would watch over them, surround them with other people that will help them, and protect them from all the wiles of Satan, who will come after them immediately to try to pull them away from you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make you bigger in their lives, in their minds, in their hearts, in their souls, in their bodies, in their relationships, in their circumstances, in their homes, in their workplaces, bigger than anything else. And that they will have the joy that you promised, the abundant life that you offer. So God, I put them into your hands. Now, as we go forward, Lord, prepare us this week to talk next week about the hard work of forgiving others. In the name of Jesus, we pray.